Chapter is this? fifth chapter, text 5. Text 8, chapter 5. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 8. Word meanings, yai by whom, tatva truth, bhedai by differentiation, adhi lokanata, the king of the kings, lokan, planets, alokan, planets of the lower region, saha, along with lokapalan, respective kings, achikipat, planned, yatra, wherein, he, certainly, sarva, all, sattva, existence, nikaya, living entities, bheda, difference, adhikrita, occupied, pratita, it so appears. Yaistat pavedar adhilokanato. Lokan alokan sah lokapalan. Achiki padyatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya pedo dhikrita patita. Yaistat pavedhar adhilokanato. Lokan alokan sah lokapalan. Achiki padyatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya bhedo dhikrita patita. Yes, tatva bhedhar adhilokanato. Lokan alokan sah lokapalan. Achiki padyatra hi sarva sattva. Nikaya bhedo dhikrita patita.
Yeah.
just realized that I misread this whole time. Achikrit, it's an L with a dot under it. I thought it was an I. It's a letter we don't see very often. Achikriput. Not Achikiput, I was saying. Achikriput. Achikriput. Translation. The Supreme King of all kings has created different planets and places of habitation where living entities are situated in terms of the modes of nature and the work. And he has created their different kings and rulers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna is the chief king of all kings, and he has created different planets for all kinds of living entities. Even on this planet, there are different places for inhabitation by different types of men. There are places like deserts, ice lands, and valleys and mountainous countries. And in each of them, there are different kinds of men born of different modes of nature according to their past deeds. There are people in the Arabian deserts and in the valleys of the Himalayan mountains, and the inhabitants of these two places differ from one another, just as the inhabitants of the ice lands also differ from them. Similarly, there are also different planets. The planets below the earth, down to the Patala planet, are full of various kinds of living beings. No planet is vacant, as wrongly imagined by the modern so-called scientists. In Bhagavad Gita, we find it said by the Lord that the living entities are sarvagata, or present in every sphere of life. So there is no doubt that on other planets there are also inhabitants like us, sometimes with greater intelligence and greater opulence. The living conditions for those of greater intelligence are more luxurious than on this earth. There are also planets where no sunlight reaches, and there are living entities who must live there due to their past deeds. All such plans for living conditions are made by the Supreme Lord, and Vidura requested Maitreya to describe this for the sake of further enlightenment. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Madhur is asking a bunch of questions. There are different places in the Bhagavatam where we get long lists of questions. A lot of times when I read those questions, I think, I don't know the answers to these questions. They're there somewhere in the Bhagavatam, apparently, but it's not always evident to me where they are to be found. Or sometimes it seems like the answer is maybe just one line of a four-line verse, just briefly mentioned. For example, one of the questions asked somewhere, I forget where it is, asking about some details about Pitriloka. But I don't know anything about Pitriloka. I just know it's a place of the ancestors, but who those ancestors? I don't think my ancestors are there. Maybe somebody else's. Anyway, so here's some questions by Vidura. He's asking about the planets. So we'll talk a little bit about the universe today, sort of say. Actually, I'm not going to get into technical details. I just want to give a general overview. Because I know myself, even the basic features, I get confused about them. What's the dweep and what's the varsha and what's the, you know, that kind of thing. So I thought I'd go summarize it. Of course, we all know there's 14 planetary systems, or at least we should know. There are 7 upper and 7 lower. So beginning from Earth, Earth is the first one, or Bhumandala. Bhumandala is the first one going up. Bhubhuvasva, so that's a common thing, you know. Bhubhuvasva. And then Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. So Bhuloka is the middle area that we're in, middle of the universe. Bhuva, Prabhupada sometimes calls it inner space, or he calls it the place of ghostly spirits sometimes. But as far as I can tell, is where we hear about these charnas and the Gandharvas maybe are there. It's not clear. I tried researching it, but it's hardly anything in our books about Bhuvaloka. But it's somewhere between Bhumandala and Swarga, the heavenly planets. So then Swa, Bhubhuva Swa, then the third one up is Swargaloka, the heavenly planets. Often we hear just about these three, because a lot takes place there. You know, when people are on the earth planet, they engage in karma kanda. So they go up to Swarga, and then they come back down. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kabu Swarge Utai, Kabu Narake Dubai. So sometimes, actually that says you sometimes go down to hell. You go up to heaven and you go down to hell. But often too, there's going back and forth between the heaven, those who are karmakandis and doing everything right. They go up to Swargaloka. So then after Swarga, then you get Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka. So Maharloka, we hear a little bit more about this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumara goes to Maharloka. So these places, these are where great sages live. And they're always engaged in sacrifice. Pretty much constantly they do. And they're actually to get direct darshan of the Lord of Sacrifice, a form of Lord Vishnu. So this Maharloka, when there's a partial devastation of the universe, everything gets burned up to Swargaloka, including Swargaloka, and it gets hot at Maharloka. It doesn't get burned, but it gets hot there. So the residents of Maharloka go up to the next planet, which is Janaloka. And those two planets, it seems to be, they're pretty much the same. The same kind of things are going on there. There are these inhabitants, they may be grihastas, actually, always performing sacrifice, constantly, one after the other, and they're always seeing the Lord by performing their sacrifices. So that goes on in Janaloka. And then Tapaloka is where the Kumaras are. And there, of course, they're engaged in meditation. The Navayogendras are also there. There's a discussion there, I think that's Tapaloka, where it goes on about, basically he's trying to convince Gopakumara that meditation is better than seeing the Lord, because Gopakumara wants to see the Lord. So this sage Prabuddha, one of the nine Yogendras, he's telling him how really it's all about the mind. Even when you see, you have to use your mind, or any of the senses, it's really the mind that's doing it. There's quite a long discussion there, actually, where he's preaching to Gopakumara and telling him, you don't have to worry about seeing. But of course, Gopakumara, he has this bhava in his heart that he wants to see the Lord, that desire is there in his heart. And he likes to see Lord Jagannath. While he's there, he keeps thinking, maybe I should go back to Jagannath Puri, because there I can see the Lord all the time. So anyway, so these are very elevated sages. It's quite amazing, actually, the description you hear about the Kumaras there. Because they have so much, their concentration is so deep and profound and vast in their meditation that they take on forms of the Lord. So if Gopakumara wants to see the Lord, then one of the Kumaras, he goes into meditation and Gopakumara is able to see the Lord through him somehow. His meditation, his fixity, and you might say his oneness with the Lord is so deep in his meditation that he's able to manifest the Lord's presence there. So that's Tapaloka. Then of course, you know the story in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Gopakumara, he doesn't know anything. He just learns as he goes along. So then he sees four-headed Lord Brahma. He says, who's this? He did the same thing when the Kumaras appeared. Who are these? Who are these people? So he always has to be taught. So he hears about Brahmaloka, because he's always hearing the next place is even better than this one. And so he starts getting a little, you know, he wants to move on. So he goes up to Brahmaloka. He actually becomes Lord Brahma. So on Brahmaloka also, the Mahapurusha is worshipped there. And the Mahapurusha is said to be thousand-headed. Usually the word thousand means basically unlimited. He has unlimited heads. And Lord Brahma is always able to get his darshan there in Brahmaloka. And again, so many sacrifices and prayers are constantly being offered there. So those are the upper planetary systems. And then down below, the lower seven, then there we have what are called the subterranean heavenly planets. There are actually three kinds of heavenly planets. There are some, which I'll talk about later, in Bhumandala. So there's the earthly heavenly planets and the heavenly planets. Divya Swarga, Boma Swarga, and Bila Swarga. So Bila Swarga is those below Bhumandala, below the earth. So they're all considered heavenly because the level of enjoyment there is extremely elevated, very high. People enjoy like anything in these places. But they're also called hellish planets. In fact, and we can maybe get this mixed up because they're hellish planets that you go to, which you hear about at the end of the fifth canto, where you suffer for your sinful activities. But these aren't those places. Those are below these seven, somewhere between the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean and the beginning of these seven lower Bilaswargas. But they're also sometimes called hell. In fact, in the pastime of Vamanadeva, when he's going to send Bali Maharaj to Sutala Loka, it's described as hell. You're going to go to, actually, Shukracharya says you're going to go to hell. So even there, the context of that whole pastime, it's often referred to as hell. But it's really not exactly hell, is the place where you're burned up and all those kinds of things. So those are Atto, Vito, Suto, Talato, Mahato, Ratala, and Patala. Don't ask me why I know those, but I do. I learned the letters. So there's a little something about each one of those, which I'll mention that later, but I wanted to go on first to Bhumandala. So again, we have these 14 planetary systems, and the middle one is Bhumandala, the one that we're situated on. That's the one I'm sure you've all seen the diagrams with the, and Sariputta Prabhu has done an analysis that maybe this is about the solar system, the rotation of the planets around the sun and the path that they make and so on. So those were created, those seven islands of Bhumandala. There's seven islands. There's seven islands and nine varshas. So we'll get to those afterwards. So first there are seven islands on Bhumandala. Okay, so we're at Bhumandala. There are seven islands there. And those were created by the chariot of King Priyavrata. We hear about King Priyavrata in the first canto of the first chapter of the fifth canto. So he didn't like that there was sometimes darkness, so he created another sun. And he went around Mount Sumeru, and he created these seven oceans and seven islands. So one of those, the one closest to Mount Sumeru is made of solid gold, and the one that's closest to Mount Sumeru is called Jambudweep. So let me see if it says something here. Okay, so Priyavrata had 10 sons. So he created these islands, and then he had 10 sons, and three of them took sannyas, so the other three got to rule these seven islands. Their names are made, actually, and all those islands, they're named after the sons of King Priyavrata. So you have Nabi, Kimpurusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Bhadrashva, and Ketumala. We'll hear a little bit more about them too. So then we have the nine, so Jambudweep, let's see. His sons are the rulers of nine varshas. So there are seven dweeps and nine varshas. So here's a description of the varsha. Now here's a general description of these varshas that I just mentioned. Kimpurusha varsha, Hari varsha, Ilavrita varsha, and so on. These are the ones that I mentioned. These are called the Boma Divya. I'll just read about this and you'll get a basic understanding about what these are about. Now this Bharatvarsha is different from the other six. And Bharatvarsha is really a place of fruitive activities. Bharatvarsha, where we are, that's where you go up and down according to your fruitive activity, especially. The other places are either meant for enjoying or suffering the results of your good and bad deeds. So fruitive activity especially takes place on earth or Varsha. So these other Varshas, here's a little something about them. Actually, it starts with mentioning Bharatvarsha. These are all in the 17th chapter, the 5th canto. The tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is the field of activities, and the other 8 Varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. In each of these 8 beautiful provinces, the celestial denizens enjoy various standards of material comfort and pleasure. A different incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his mercy in each of the 9 Varshas of Jambudvip. Among the 9 Varshas, It says, after returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these 8 earthly Varshas. So again, so there are these 9 Varshas, one of them is Bharat Varsha, and these other 8, that's where you gradually descend. You know, so you don't get the bends. Like you have to depressurize somewhat. So you go to Swargaloka, and you don't just drop down to Varsha right away. You go to these other Varshas, and you enjoy there. Maybe it's a little bit of a lower standard, but you get used to being a little closer to Varsha, I guess the idea is. So these are also these are heavenly planets. Let's see, learned scholars and saintly persons. I just read that. In these 8 Varshas or tracts of lands, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, okay, that's a pretty short time when you're living there with 10,000. The wife conceives a child. Thus, the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga. So I was surprised when I read this. I said, wow, it's really that nice in Treta Yuga? Well, that's the way it's described here, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.17.12. So in Treta Yuga, apparently a very high level of enjoyment is available there. So it was mentioned here that on each of these Varshas, there's a presiding deity. A different incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God that distributes his mercy. So here's a description of those. I'll just go through them quickly. And Bharatvarsha, the deity, is Naranarayan, and he's worshipped by the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, led by Narad Muni. One thing I just read recently about Narad Muni is he teaches the Dhanurveda, and he carries a bow, and he really knows how to use it, because Dhanurveda is centered on the bow, generally. Of course, they throw mystic mantras and so on. So especially Narayan and Rishi, or maybe both of them, but anyway. So he teaches the Dhanurveda. Okay, so Bharatvarsha, formerly this planet was known as Ajanabha-varsha, ruled by Nabi. Remember I mentioned the different sons of Priyavrata. So one of them was called Nabi, so the planet was called Ajanabha-varsha. But since Maharaj Bharata's reign, it has become known as Bharatvarsha. So the next we have Ilavrita. These are all described. There's a chapter in the... Actually, it's interesting. Sometimes I wonder why chapters are broken up the way they are. Because they're the prayers by the residents of Jambudvip. But they start at the end of one chapter, they go all through the next chapter, and they go into the third chapter. So they cover part of 3 different chapters. I was thinking, why didn't they put them all in one chapter? But I'm not the composer of the Bhagavatam, so I should keep my mouth shut. So the next one is called Ilavritavarta. The presiding deity there is Sankarshan, and he's worshipped by Lord Shiva. And the special characteristic of Ilavritavarsha is that Lord Shiva is the only male there. That's a little pastime takes place in the 9th canto about how everyone got turned into a woman there. Bhadrashvavarsha is ruled by someone named Bhadrashva. And Lord Hayagriva is there, a horse-headed incarnation. Harivarsha, maybe some of you know, Prahlad Maharaj offers prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev there. There's a famous prayer there that devotees like to recite, worshipping Lord Nrsimhadev. So it's on Harivarsha. Ketumala Varsha is where the Lord is present in the form of Cupid. So not just ordinary Cupid, but a form of Cupid of Lord Rishikesh. And there he's worshipped by the goddess of fortune. Ramaka Varsha is where Manu and all the inhabitants, they worship Lord Matsya there. And this is apparently connected to that pastime of Matsya. Because that king, what was his name? King Satyavrata, yeah, he became Manu in his next life. So he worshipped Matsya. So Hiranmaya Varsha, Aryama is, actually he's the lord of the Pitriloka, and he took over for Yamaraj when Yamaraj came as Varuna. So he worships Lord Kurma there, he and his followers. And Uttarakuru Varsha, Lord Varaha is worshipped by the inhabitants there. And in Kimpurusha Varsha, of course, who's the famous Kimpurusha? Hanumanji. So Hanuman worships Lord Ramchandra on Kimpurusha Varsha. So here's a quick overview of, actually I'm getting towards the end here, of the lower planetary, the seven lower planetary systems. A little something about them. There's a whole chapter on them in the fifth canto. So in Atala, the yawning of a demon has produced three kinds of women, called Swarini, independent, Kamini, lusty, and Pungshchali, very easily subdued by men. That's apparently the main characteristic of that place, because that's what it says about it. In Vitala Loka, where Lord Shiva and his wife Gauri reside. So here's another place. Lord Shiva seems to have lots of homes. He lives in different places. So here, this is one of the places where he lives, in Vitala Loka. And because of their presence, Lord Shiva and Gauri, a kind of gold is produced called Hataka. It's always interesting to me why gold is so considered so valuable. Now I've heard one reason it's valued in on this planet is because it can be used for a lot of things. It's very useful, and of course there's a limited amount of it. But people have always been attracted to the beauty of gold. But it has certain properties that make it useful for manufacturing things as well. But I don't think that's the purpose why it's prized on Vitala Loka. Anyway. So Sutala is the abode of Bali Maharaj, of course, and Lord Vamanadeva is there. Then Talatala, the abode of the demon Maya. So the famous Moya, M-A-Y-A, short A's, who built the assembly hall for the crews and other so many amazing things. This demon is always materially happy because he is favored by Lord Shiva. But he cannot achieve spiritual happiness at any time. So that's a main characteristic of all these places. Everyone there has some kind of demoniac disposition. One thing it's said there, they enjoy a very, very high level. It says their level of enjoyment is higher than Indra's heavenly planets. But it's also said they're always angry. So I'm thinking, well, how can you enjoy when you're angry all the time? That's what it says. But that's the nature of the demons. They're always angry. They're never satisfied. I guess that's what you can say. They get all the pleasure they could ever want, but still they're not satisfied. So they're angry all the time. So next is Rasatala, which we always wonder how Prabhupada named a disciple after one of these planets, but he did. Actually, one thing to say about that is it's said in the fifth canto that just by hearing about these the structure of the universe, it's considered a pious thing, become pious by it. And of course, the other thing is, everything is Krishna in one sense, everything in the material world. That's why we can see anything wonderful about this world that's attractive to us, because it's Krishna's energy. He's one with and different from his energy. So Rasatala Loka is always also praiseworthy because, of course, ultimately it's created by Krishna, it's coming from Krishna, it's made of Krishna's energy, and it has a purpose in his creation. So anyway, that Rasatala Loka is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Danu. So the Daityas and the Danavas, that's how they get their names, the sons of Diti and Danu. It says they are the enemies of the demigods and they reside in holes like snakes. I often think like that and hear about taking birth in animal species. Some of these animals, they spend pretty much their whole lives inside the hole. What a horrible existence. Come out a little bit when it's dark and sneak around and try to find something to eat. And go back into their holes. Well, there's so many nocturnal animals. What a horrible existence. And snakes, they hide. Of course, they have other problems too, obviously. And finally, Patala Loka, where the serpent Vasuki lives. So even though Anantashesha, the way I like to think of it, Nagaraja means Anantashesha, but Vasuki is also sometimes called Nagaraj. So the Nagas live there. There's no light there. The sun doesn't shine anywhere. The only way there's light is from the jewels on the heads of the serpents. So this is Nagaloka. It's probably where I'll end up. Samsara Dava Nagalila Loka. So that's the lower planets. Somehow there's a... Actually, one of the descriptions, I didn't write it here, it says there are many guest houses, or like hotels. You can go home, you can visit, you can stay at a hotel and make your reservation. You can stay at one of these places. Or maybe it's just those that live in the same area, traveling for a festival or something. I don't know. Anyway, so that pretty much covers it. Those are the seven upper and seven lower, and the different varshas of Jambu Dweep. And that's all I got. Anybody have any else to add to this? Maharaj.
I just have a question. It's hard to remember this whole amazing cosmography, astronomy, whatever. But one thing that hits home is Bharat Varsh. You mentioned Bharat Varsh, and it seems contradictory because you described, or you read a description of Bharat Varsh as a place of fruitive activity, and yet we hear that it's so auspicious to take birth in Bharat Varsh. So What's so auspicious about being condemned to fruitive activity?
Well, it's not auspicious because of the fruitive activity. It's auspicious because there's so much opportunity for spiritual advancement. That's why it's called auspicious. Because one thing, it's not too hellish and it's not too, the enjoyment, it's the middle. So you can in some ways kind of relax and execute your spiritual life. Whereas these other places are so distracted, either by suffering or enjoyment, they can't concentrate. Of course, we have a hard time concentrating too, but at least that's ideally, that's one of the characteristics of the Earth planet. You get some enjoyment and some suffering, but not intense, generally speaking. So then, there are opportunities. In fact, it's said in the Bhagavatam that they're, like it glorifies the residents of South India as being, having bhakti and so on, so. It's always present there. And there are sages who travel around the world. I don't know if any sages are visiting the lower seven planetary systems. Of course, we have the exception, Sutala Loka, but generally speaking, it's not like that. Even sometimes I wonder about this. I think, well, isn't Narada Muni in the heavenly planets? But maybe he is, but still, people are so distracted. I mean, he goes there. He goes wherever he wants. But people tend not to pay attention because they're too distracted by their sense enjoyment. That's the advantage of the earth. Bharat Varsha. Devikaram Prabhu.
Hare Bhav. When Sugriv was describing the earth, Sugriv is the character in Ramayana, he described the earth planet as...
So can you say that again? Sugriva was describing some Ramayana, is that what you just said?
Sugriva.
Who? Sugriva. Okay, Sugriva. And then was doing what?
He was describing the earthly planet.
The earthly plan, okay.
And he explained that this planet is the Bhumandala, where all the dvipas and everything are actually on this planet. That's how it is. And that is also consistent with some of the other Puranas description. Because, for example, it states from the Himavat, from the Himalayas, to Kanyakumari, that is called Bharatvarsha.
Yeah, see? I know, it's stated like that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but even Srila Prabhupada also wrote, I think, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that this earth is the Bhumandala without, you know, so yes, but I mean, it's interesting. I strongly believe it's that also. I mean, we can, if any devotee here would like to discuss, we can discuss really, because I strongly feel it's this earthly planet is Bhumandala with all these seven dvipas and...
Well, you're not familiar with Sariputta Prabhu's work?
I've checked it out.
So
I've I don't totally agree with that.
You don't agree. So anyway, he gave three explanations. That was one of them. So I accept all three of them. Four. Oh,
yeah.
See, that he says there are four different experiences. Yeah.
His concern was the distance itself. Also, if you read like the Ramayana and the Mahabharata itself, you would strongly believe that all these dvipas exist in our cosmos, because the way it's being described.
Well, you can continue your discussion. I'm sorry to say my body is demanding that I leave at the moment. So
I don't know which version of the Ramayana they read in Dhyana, but it could well be in there.